Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hold one, arm drag.
Don't tell me.
Everybody, welcome to Hit the Books, the only weekly realistic fantasy booking podcast live in person together for the first time in 2 years. I mean, live in person, there's no crowd or audience. It's just us in live in person. And by us, I mean, I'm Ryan Knightsey, the host as always. And with me as always is my other co-host, Mikey Manfredi, the spicy nug himself. Mikey, we're together for the first time in over 2 years of doing the show. We're recording in the same room.
That is true. I can see you. You're, like, right in front of me. I can just, like, reach out and touch you. It's crazy.
Get out of here.
Also, I'm sorry. Also, now I'm picturing us doing the show with a live studio audience, which obviously is impossible in these unprecedented times, as they say.
Yes.
But, like, if it wasn't, that would be cool.
That would be awesome to get a live.
It would be hard to do a podcast with a live studio audience, though, because I feel like they'd make a lot of noise.
No, podcasts do live studio audience stuff all the time.
I don't know.
They do. Are you telling me none of the podcasts you... My brother, me, McElroy's, they always do podcasts in front of a live audience.
That's true. I imagine.
I was like 100%.
No, you're right.
You've also seen them live. You've been in the audience for a live podcast. What are you talking about?
Shut up.
Well, Mikey, I'm excited to record. It's obviously going to be weird... recording like in person, I don't know.
It's gonna be a new energy for sure. It's gonna be different. I don't think it's gonna be weird. I think it's gonna be different, but I think it's gonna be interesting. We're gonna have a way different energy in the show here, because we are not virtual. We are all just in this room.
Yes, and I can also like now give you like cues with my eyes. I'd be like, I'm like look at you and be like, oh, I'm about to talk to Mikey.
The bits we could do now.
The bits, all of our bits. Anyways, and we're here. You and I have driven here with our friend Zach Batista because we are going to be in attendance for the collective GCW's. I assume it's the whole thing. No, Black Label President. You know, the collective, just a collection.
I mean,
of,
it's all under GCW, right? Technically, because it's called GCW the Collective.
I guess that's
true.
They're
the ones who kind of put it together.
I guess that's true. But we are here in attendance for the Collective, which is in Indianapolis, Indiana. We have driven / flown over to Indianapolis, Indiana from our various locations of states. And
we have traveled to Indianapolis, Indiana for these independent wrestling shows.
Yes, the Indianapolis, Indiana event of the century is the Collective.
The Indie show.
I actually saw on Twitter today, kind of timestamp us, October 10th, Saturday, of the Collective. The timestamp, I saw a thing that the Marion County officials, government or whatever, named this weekend a holiday or whatever, saying it's the Independent Wrestling Weekend holiday or something.
I love it.
So, yeah, that happened, I guess, today. But, yeah, if you're hearing this, honestly, we're recording this before the actual Collective, all the shows we go to, starts. So by the time you're listening to this, the shows have already ended. But we're very excited. We got 5 shows, Spring Break, Black Label Pro, Bloodsport, Shimmer, and Freelance. And we're all excited to see these. But like I said, we're not just alone. We came with our friend, and
of course,
we already teased it, but he is here with us today. That is Zach Batista. Zach, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic on this wonderful noon, morning, whatever you want to call it. I'm doing great. I'm very excited for the collective in general. I'm also excited for to be back. This time to be more involved this time as opposed to just rating it.
Yeah, last time you when you came on the show, you rated our two cards that we presented. And this time, you've brought your own booked version of NXT.
Yes, sir.
You've shaved your head. You're now the King of Kings. and you are Triple H-ing this paper.
The beard's on his way.
But
does that make you Paul Heyman?
Oh, he's not booking. No, we're both Bruce Pritchard.
Oh, man. God, that's
Wait,
so...
So with our powers combined, we are Bruce Pritchard.
What an awful, awful way to...
Wonder Twins, form of...
Bruce Pritchard. terrible
oh,
Wonder
God.
Twins. They could have turned into anything. I never knew the Wonder Twins. All I knew for my reference point for that joke for many years was the Fairly Odd Parents bit where... It was like everyone was a superhero or something.
Yeah, and I think Cosmos is like, form of bucket of water, and that's all he can do.
Yeah, form of a bucket of water. And it just sits there. I love
Wonder it. Wonder Twins are a very interesting superhero team.
What do you mean?
Just the fact that like they have to be together always to do anything. It makes it really easy for villains to be like, hey, here's a plan. Separate them, and they're useless.
Yeah, I love... That, like, part of coming up with a superhero is that what part of their power is, like, kind of, like, asinine in the sense that, like, if they just... If one thing happens, they can't work it anymore. Like, I was watching The Boys recently, which is really, really good.
I've heard good things about that show.
I've watched the first season. I have not gotten to the second season yet.
Okay. Well, not huge spoilers, but there is a person in the show who has, like, a new character... Who has like superpowers? They have like telekinesis powers, but they can only like control things with their hands. So like, that's all. I guess that's actually all I have to say about it.
Did you know that?
But I guess that's a bit. The downside is like I can't use my mind. I have to use my hands to do something.
Did you know that in? I believe this is.
This has gone great so far. Mikey's literally Google searching.
This is a New Earth character. There is a villain. Named Snowflame. I don't know why. All of this conversation reminded me of it. And there is a villain, and his main power... Can you guess? Based on his name, Snowflame, can you guess what his power is?
He melts snow.
He melts snow? Not,
yes.
Not he has fire and ice powers?
No. He can melt things, but only snow.
Zach, what do you think Snowflame does?
I was going to say this better be something related to snow somehow being on fire or made of fire.
No, Snowflame's power is that he gets more powerful the more cocaine he takes.
Oh my.
Wow.
And you said this was written in the 70s?
Sometime around then.
Oh my God.
Man, just a brick of
he
cocaine.
He is a DC property.
That is like straight up out of the 70s. That is like the actual writers of that comic book was like, I'm just going to write myself.
Snowflame is a comic villain from DC's ill-starred New Guardians series whose entire shtick is that he snorts cocaine and it gives him superpowers.
I like that he's a villain.
I would hope he's not a hero.
Yes, kids, smoke cocaine. No, my bad. Sniff cocaine. You'll get stronger.
Obviously, Zach does not do cocaine. That's a good sign. He doesn't know how to do it. I don't know why. Well, I don't know. We're diverging too much. I'm revealing too much. Anyways, the collective. We're here. We're here also. We're not even doing collective stuff. We're not doing cocaine. We're not doing wrestling. We're talking about booking.
No, we are doing wrestling.
Oh, yes. We're booking our own version. Man, this intro. God, if only this wasn't the second intro we've done today.
Hey, they don't even know that.
Too late. We are here booking. If you're new to the show... Very weird. I'm sorry.
What a start to that.
Weird place to start.
Very sorry about that. But if you're, like I said, if you're new to this, what we do every single week is that Mikey and I book our own versions of both Raw and SmackDown. 4 to 5 matches, 5 segments, so a bunch of promos and whatnot. So every single week we booked our own versions of that. We've been doing it for over 2 years now, and sometimes we have guests. And today we have Zach Batista, who's booking his own version of NXT, like we've already said.
Yes, I am taking over from your last guest. I tried to work with what he gave me, and I have made a card that I believe is amazing.
How was it booking like a full TV show for the first time?
It's fucking hard, man. Like, I had one angle here that you'll know because I'll be very excited when I talk about it. And I had one match for it, and I was like, all right. And once that got put, I looked, and I was like, oh, I need like at least four matches. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, I need to do the rest of the card.
Basically, yeah. No. And I was like, the hardest part for me was the promos because I'm like, I have to write for these people? I'm like, shit. I was like, well, going to try my best. I'm going to do what I think sounds cool and what I think they might say. And, yeah, just hoping that it sounds as good in my head as it does.
Yeah, you kind of just have to hope for the best at that point. You're kind of like, okay, well, let's see how it goes. But, yeah, it's always – I've always found it very interesting because it's difficult to do because you have a lot of things in the air, but it's very satisfying because – and you've only done, like, one episode.
Mm-hmm.
A thing I've learned from doing this for a very long time, and I don't know if Mikey agrees or not, but a thing I've learned about doing this for a very long time is that when – you book one episode, it's like, you know, you're putting it all together. But when you have, like, the full storyline and, like, pieces start falling together, like, I have one storyline on today's episode, which is like, oh, perfect. When I was, like, coming up with, like, oh, what do I do here now? It was like it just kind of fit together perfectly because they were available. So I was like, oh, I'm going to use them right now. And then, obviously, I will be using them right now. But it's very satisfying. It's like it's when the neurons fire and you're like, oh, here we go. It's perfect.
Especially when you get to that, especially if you're building to like a big like blow off match or like a big like a big moment, and that moment finally hits and play and kind of plays out, and you see my favorite thing is booking a big moment, and then
yeah.
seeing Ryan's reaction.
Yes, yes, agreed, agreed, and reacting to those big moments.
Yeah.
Well, let's make some more moments together, Mikey and Zach. Let's start off by booking. Aww. I'm going to show you what I've written for Monday Night Raw. And I've been teasing it already. This is the best book match in history of Monday Night Raw. It is Aleister Black versus Bo Dallas.
God damn it.
Guys, just
you've been baiting me all morning with that.
Yeah.
About the best match you've ever booked. And I was like, huh, me and Ryan have booked matches together. So this must be a good one if he's saying it's the best match he's ever booked. And I just got... I can't believe you did that to me.
Hours he talked this match up.
Are you telling me this match isn't good? Think about it. Think about why. Why would I say this is the best book match I've ever done?
I forgot you had Bo Dallas on your card.
Me too. Moving right along into the next. I moved right along without even saying who won. It's Aleister Black. Come on, guys. It's a squash.
It's Aleister Black, yeah.
Got
it's a squash
kicked
match.
In the face.
Yeah.
Easy.
Aleister Black just fucking kicks Bo Dallas's skull right off of his neck, like he promised to do to Bray Wyatt last
dun,
week.
Dun, dun.
So that actually brings us straight into the next segment, which is a Firefly Funhouse pops up on the Titan.
I can't believe Bo Dallas died.
Yeah, he's dead now. Bray Wyatt tells Black that he's loved what he said last week. Knocking a head off a body sounds wonderful. But you're missing the point
here.
Why is
everyone so stoked about decapitation on Raw? You guys okay?
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. You can't demand... But you're missing the point here, Al. You can't demand anything of us. We are only the mediators. This is the only way to get Keith Lee back, and that is by giving us your soul. Zach, just a little backstory if you don't remember. Keith Lee got kidnapped.
I remember this.
The Fiend / Bray Wyatt says he knows where. A little birdie told him he knows where Keith Lee is, and he's willing to get him for Aleister Black. But Aleister Black will have to give up his soul.
Who was like, this really creepy guy who has two personalities and can kill me with the snap of his finger. I'll talk to him.
I don't know. You said
that
last week.
I'll tell him where Keith Lee is.
You questioned that last week, and I have yet to give an answer.
Who's like, you know what I want to do today? Be Bray Wyatt's informant.
Usually, I think my answer that last week, it was like, I have no idea. But I also know for a fact that like eventually I'll come up with something, and the answer will come up. Like, when have I booked something here where the answer wasn't revealed?
What I'm thinking is that Bray Wyatt just happened to be around when someone let it slip that they might have an idea of where Keith Lee is, and then Bray Wyatt like kind of interrogated them until they gave it up.
Possibly.
That's what I'm feeling.
Fair enough.
Mm. He has spooky power as far as I'm concerned.
It's true.
This is true. The doorbell rings, and out...
Ding dong.
Thank you, Mikey, for the Foley. Behind him, that door behind the Firefly Funhouse, Bray gets excited, and the mailman hand comes out. And gives a package to Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt.
Why is the idea of just like a hand with a package going through the door and that's it?
Yeah, that's it. He grabs it. Bray Wyatt grabs it, opens it up. And what's inside of the package is a Aleister Black crow puppet.
Is it Aleister Crowley?
No. I don't know what that is.
I love and hate you so much right now.
Bray is all excited, but he admits that it's missing life, Al. At Hell in a Cell, we will give this new friend life when he takes yours. Is the only exchange, Al, non-negotiable. Then...
I don't think that's how it works. I don't think you being like, the terms of the deal between me and you are like, only I get to pick them. Like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, he's a villain, so he's a demon, so I guess that's what it is.
I guess so.
When you strike deals with the devil, you can't really like deny it because it's the devil.
I feel like I continue.
The hurt hand pops up. Bray Wyatt listens to it and says, "Hey, he has a great idea. You know, this is all part of your fate, Al. This is your destiny. You can't back out or find a different way. So to make sure he gets what he wants, he will take you to hell himself in a hell in a cell match."
Nice.
Goodbye. And then he waves off.
I swear to God, every time you do an intense Bray Wyatt promo where he mentions the Fiend and gets all scary, and then you just go, "Goodbye!" It gets me every time.
Thank you. Thank you.
I still hold to the theory that he's going to take so many people's souls that the roster is going to get depleted and they're going to have to beat him, and I cannot wait for that.
Yes. Oh, but you're saying that like he turns him into puppets?
Yes. Progressively, the baby face, and eventually maybe heel roster goes down. Maybe he becomes champion, and then someone's going to have to beat him. But, you know, the draft.
We need the baby face to beat Bray Wyatt and free all the souls trapped inside the puppets.
He becomes the big boss.
Big boss man. Moving right along, backstage, Ricochet, he's talking to a road agent when MVP walks up. Ricochet gets, sort of guarded and, tells MVP to stop bothering him. MVP, if you don't know, Zach has been sort of asking continuously, like, "Hey, can I be your manager and all this stuff? I have wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience. I take it on Sheamus." Ricochet has respectfully denied him every time.
"Here's my resume. Here's a cover letter.
I got these chains that say MVP 305.
So you know who I am always."
Yeah, it's a name tag. MVP tells Ricochet that he's got nothing to worry about. Ricochet, he says he's got nothing to worry about. "I know I've been coming on a little strong as of late, but hey, when I see talent, I want to cultivate it. Plus, I got an offer for you." Everyone's got deals on Monday Night Raw, apparently. "I talked to my guys in the back, and they told me that next week you're getting a title shot at Sheamus's Intercontinental Championship," the title that Ricochet's been looking for the past couple weeks. The only catch is that you have to have one last match, and that match is going to be against me, Ricochet, MVP.
Ooh.
So I'm going to extend my own offer to you, Rick. I will forfeit my match, allowing you a bye directly into next week's title shot. All you have to do is let me manage you, Ricochet. This is all you got to do. What do you say?" And extends his hand. Ricochet, he's thinking about it, what he's got to do. Is he going to go down this one path of MVP? Is he going to go on his own? He says, "Look, MVP, I truly value your friendship and interest in managing me. But I've gotten to this point in my career by being the one and only. I was the king of the independents. I came to NXT and grinded again until I became champion. Sure, I got moved to the main roster. You know, admittedly, I've had my stumbles, but nothing is perfect. It's all part of the grind. It's not that I don't need you, MVP. It's that I know for a fact that I can prove myself here and beat Sheamus next week. So I'll see you tonight."
"I'll see you tonight."
Why'd you say it like that?
I was being Ricochet.
That was, I don't know, that felt
sexy.
I was
being MVP, back at Ricochet, like, "No, I'll see you tonight."
Ooh.
Tonight in that ring.
Zach, thoughts on that?
I am very excited to see where this goes, because as I thought about it, and I was like, Ricochet as a heel would be really cool, but I'm curious to see where the MVP angle goes, because he seems really adamant about it, and it should be good for the IC title scene. Especially depending on who wins that match.
I think it comes with a better story if he takes MVP's offer here, because it'll lead to a cool heelish Ricochet. But I think in terms of Ricochet's character, I don't think he'll take the deal, because I think Ricochet, like you said, he's the one and only.
Pretty much, yeah.
Moving right along into the next match, it's Sonya Deville, who returned from a multiple-month injury 2 weeks ago. And tonight, she is taking on Natalya. Last week, she beat Caden Carter in her return match. This week, she takes on Natalya, who she defeats.
Sonya Deville storming through here.
Mm-hmm. After the match, Sonya grabs the microphone and says, "Shayna, you already know I've got your number. I've been waiting a very long time for this match. Trust me. You, me, Women's Championship, Hell in a Cell. This will be a god dang fight."
Love it.
My body is ready.
There's a lot of sexual undertones in this episode. Not about you guys. Maybe it's because we're live in person, but I feel like there's a lot of sexual undertones in this episode.
But that match can't be bad.
It can't. No,
it'll be good. I'm very excited
for this one. The two MMA backgrounds of Shayna and Sonya make me very excited for this potential. This is a match I've been wanting to do for a while.
They're gonna beat each other to death.
When they were both on SmackDown, I think, were they ever on SmackDown? No, I don't think we ever had Sonya Deville on SmackDown with us when we were booking SmackDown. But this is a match I've been wanting to do. I've been always pushing for Sonya Deville. I think she's a great competitor, a singles competitor, and I've been really pushing for it, so I'm giving her the opportunity right now.
I like that.
Moving along to a sort of like a video package backstage setup interview. Rhea Ripley. You know, she's having a sit-down interview here with Kayla Braxton. Kayla Braxton apparently doing some investigative journalism. Kayla starts the interview by saying that Rhea Ripley is specifically asked for this interview. Ripley says that over the past several months, being on Raw has been amazing. I've been proving my talents to the world. However, when I've been doing my best, my former tag partner did not think so. Following every single one of our matches, even if we won, she would yell at me, belittle me, and just, you know, she would take our accomplishments as her own. Like, I didn't even have a part in it. She wouldn't even let me talk sometimes. She's two-faced, Kayla.
The thought of Rhea Ripley getting bullied is wild to me.
Yeah. I just couldn't stand it any longer. Sort of Kayla, surprised by the accusation, asks if there's any evidence to back up Ripley's claim. Ripley says yes and shows a private text conversation between the two, where you can read it, Morgan is continuously insulting Ripley over whatever failure that Morgan is saying to Ripley.
Yikes. It's like when you see Rhea Ripley, who's like, yeah, that's a person I want to mess with today.
Yeah. it's a weird, like, pit bull, the great Dane, where the pit bull is in charge.
Yeah, right.
Rhea Ripley says that their partnership just became toxic and that I couldn't do it anymore, so I wanted to get out. Kayla asks what's next for Rhea. Rhea says that she's going to try to move forward as a singles competitor, and hopefully the draft can split us up further. You know, she was psychotic, Kayla. I'm done with Liv Morgan. I just want to move on.
Very interesting. There was no, like there was a little bit of inklings of Liv Morgan yelling at Rhea Ripley and stuff that happened, I think, last week. Liv Morgan got a little mad. But, like, other than that, there was no signs of, like, Liv being a bully to Rhea.
This is, like, a huge accusation.
This is very out of nowhere, yeah.
Huge accusation for Rhea Ripley. And she, what are your thoughts on the evidence? She's providing evidence. Do you think that evidence is, I mean, WWE, it could be anything, I guess.
I mean, I guess I'll have to hear Liv's side of the story to see where where I go with this.
That's fair.
It could be faked too, which is kind of an interesting thought there.
That's true.
Like
maybe a jealous third party.
Ooh, third party, jealous third party. Who would be jealous about Liv Morgan teaming with them?
Somebody who wanted to. Interesting.
Oh, the rabbit hole gets deeper and deeper.
Moving right along. Next up is Ricochet versus MVP. But before the match starts, MVP grabs the microphone and tells Ricochet, "Look, man, this is your last chance. I've given you every opportunity, and you still have denied my help. So this is officially your last chance. Take my hand. Take this bye. Come on, man. Do the right thing." Ricochet walks up, talks to MVP off mic. But then suddenly, Bobby Lashley and Cesaro of the LLC jump Ricochet from behind.
Oh, no.
Once they hit their finisher, whatever that could be, I don't know. Don't know what it is. Doesn't matter. That's not my problem to figure out. I'm not a road agent.
Ooh. You know what it is?
Yes, what is it?
Cesaro throws them up, hits that European uppercut, and while they're stunned, Bobby Lashley spears them.
Nice.
That would be so cool.
Solid move. MVP, that happens. MVP calls for the bell to ring. And he goes for the pin. One, two, and a kick out by Ricochet.
Ooh.
The match officially begins. Of course, this match, Ricochet, to win this match, he will get a title shot against Sheamus next week. MVP, seemingly very upset.
Yeah, it's a huge win for Ricochet, especially after getting attacked right before the match started.
And he does get the win. You know, there's lots of LLC involvement and whatnot, but Ricochet constantly finds a way to get out of it. Ricochet ends up getting the victory. So next week will be him versus Sheamus for the title.
Did not know MVP and LLC were a thing.
Very neat.
They're not a thing, Zach. They're not really a thing. This is the first time they've ever been interacted with each other, actually.
That is an unfortunate first time interaction for them, then, to lose what is basically should have been a handicap match.
That's true.
I don't think the LLC cares. They got paid. They did their job.
Oh, wait. Aren't these the guys that just get paid all the time? They're like the they're like mercenaries, right?
Yes.
Yes.
They care whether they win or lose, as long as they're making money.
They used to be with they were with Roman when he came out with the belt after Lee got kidnapped in the episode I was on, right?
Correct. And then following that, Roman was done with them and then finished out their contract.
Okay. Okay,
so LLC were up for grabs.
LLC don't care as long as you're paying them.
Exactly. Exactly. Nailed it on the head. So there we go. Ricochet wins. That means next week it will be Sheamus versus Ricochet for the Intercontinental Championship.
Very interesting. Very excited to see that one.
You asked for it, Mikey. Next up, backstage, Liv Morgan. She's being interviewed. Obviously, you know, you have someone making accusations about him. You want to get the other side of the story here. She says that she's heard Rhea's awful accusations and says they are simply untrue. They're just lies. Slander. Lies. I've loved working with Rhea. We were tag team champions, so why would I want that to end? She's a smart, powerful woman on this roster, and I will support her if she wants to do her own thing. But this came out of nowhere. I don't know why she's saying these lies about me, but she's left me with no choice. I'm just gonna do my own thing as well. Who cares? I'm gonna do my own thing. You know, in fact, I know Sonya has already challenged Sheena already for Hell in a Cell, but I don't care about that. I want a match with Shayna Baszler. I never got my fair shot after SummerSlam, and I deserve this, quite frankly. For all the work I've done in the past few months, I've proven it. So if we need a fight next week over at Sonya, let's do it in the ring. And that's it. That's the end of that segment.
I love it. I love the fire in Liv's voice here for finally getting the shot that she's earned a while ago.
Yes. 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 She wants to go for the title again. And she's like, you can't just challenge. I want it too. I want something too. So I'm going to go for it.
Mm. Although now hearing Liv's side of the story, it does kind of reaffirm my suspicion that there's a possible third party involved who wanted to break up Rhea and Liv for whatever reason they had to do so.
So what you're saying is that you believe that both Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan are telling the truth, essentially. There's just a third person that is...
Yes, I believe that...
Or no, Rhea Ripley would probably be lying then in your scenario.
No. I believe that Rhea Ripley thinks that Liv Morgan did do the insults, and she believes that those texts are from Liv Morgan. I believe somebody may have commandeered Liv's phone, possibly, and sent those harsh text messages to Rhea without Liv knowing to maybe drive a wedge between them.
What about the accusation that Rhea Ripley says that Liv Morgan... Some of these insults were in person as well.
That does make things harder.
Yes, doesn't it?
Very interesting storyline here. I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yes,
insults. I think we need a certain somebody to solve this case, Ryan.
Oh my god!
I love cases.
A certain someone might need to come in and solve this.
If I can't get them at the draft, I'm just going to make my own detectives. The LLC are not detectives for hire.
You might need detective hard truth.
It's going to be like that Futurama. It's like, you know what? Screw you. I don't need your detectives. I'll make my own detective with magnifying glasses and hats.
Blackjack and hookers.
Moving right along to the main event. It is Edge and Daniel Bryan teaming up again for the second week in a row, taking on The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Big E. Xavier Woods on the sideline managing them. Very solid tag team match between the two, but it is Edge who ends up getting the victory over by pinning Kofi Kingston.
Very interesting. Another huge win for Edge and Daniel Bryan.
They don't have a tag team name yet, I assume, since you didn't use announce them as Edge and Daniel.
Yeah, Ryan, what's their tag team name?
I don't know, guys. They're Edge and Daniel Bryan. I don't. They don't need one. They don't think they need one.
What would it be?
I don't know. The Broken Neck Gang.
Oh my God. Wow.
The Miracle Kids, possibly?
That's probably better. It's probably more family friendly. As both teams are celebrating together, the Disciples and the Usos come out and attack both of them.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Both of them. And then who comes strolling down the ramp?
Is it Roman?
And Seth Rollins.
Oh, is it like a united front with the Disciples and Seth?
Interesting.
The beatdown continues, and the two evil factions stand tall.
Have the Bloodline and the Disciples united?
Interesting. That's the main event. You'll have to find out next week on Monday Night Raw.
This could be leading to a gigantic tag team match with New Day, Edge, and Bryan versus possibly some of the Disciples and some of the Bloodline.
I can announce that, actually.
You know.
Oh,
next
was
week.
Right.
Next week, Edge, Daniel Bryan, and The New Day taking on Seth Rollins, The Disciples, and The Usos.
No Roman.
No Roman.
Ten man tag. No, because one side is five, one side is six. So I don't know. Someone's got to sit out.
That's fair. That makes sense, but is there any...
Roman's in there, and then Jey Uso's out of the match.
Is there any particular reason it's Roman and not Seth?
Who's sitting out?
Yes.
Probably.
I was expecting you to say Keith Lee was going to show up as a special guest.
As a special six?
Special guest referee, Keith Lee.
But he's still in...
Keith Lee, he's as a puppet.
He's a puppet somewhere in Bray Wyatt's weird dimension after being kidnapped by the Bloodline.
So yes, thoughts on that?
That was a great ending.
I'm very excited. That was a good ending. It was a very, very big way to end Raw. It's a very big cliffhanger as well, because it's like, ooh, are these two teams working together possibly? I feel like they're the two big heel factions on Raw. Are they possibly working in tandem?
Yeah, that's something to explore. Something to explore at the very least. And obviously with the draft coming up, all of it can be separated, but we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yes, we will.
Let's move right along. That was Raw. That was a Monday. And in the correct order of the week, we have to move into Wednesday. Zach, we've been talking about Raw for a very long time. Let's talk the yellow brand, NXT.
All right. Coming into this, there was a bunch of matches set up and feuds set up for the TakeOver coming up.
Yes. Thank you to Sean Lerway.
Yellow brand as good as the gold brand.
You're right.
So to give some context... For TakeOver, the matches there were Kushida versus Dane, which Kushida won after Garza interfered by throwing his pants in Dane's face, and Kushida then unintentionally getting a dirty win.
Are you describing the TakeOver that's happening
between?
Yes,
the TakeOver, yes.
Okay.
Next was Io Shirai versus Catanzaro in a ladder match, which Io retained by doing a moonsault off the ladder onto Catanzaro for the pin.
That sounds awesome.
The next match was Karrion Kross versus Damian Priest, and Priest was able to pick up the victory.
Wait, hold on. For the title?
Yes, for the title.
So Priest is the champion?
Yes, he is the new champ.
Ooh.
Dang, baby.
And Ooh. The other match, which this is kind of out of order now that I realize it, was the Grizzled Young Veterans versus Breezango in a number one contenders match for the NXT Tag Team Champions, and Breezango ended up picking up the win, so they are currently the number one contenders.
Oh, interesting.
Da, na, 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 na,
what can I say? I love me some Breezango.
Fair enough.
All right. So going into NXT, we're starting with a cold open right into a match. It is Mercedes Martinez versus Kaitlyn Catanzaro. I think that's her name?
Yes.
Casey, that's it. My bad. So the match basically is Martinez basically destroys her leg the entire match to the point where the finish of the match is she goes up to do the springboard off the top and she slips. And Martinez grabs her out of the air and hits her with, I think her finisher is now the air raid crash in NXT or something like that.
Maybe?
I don't. It's either that or it's the Fisherman Buster. It's one of the two of them. But
one of the two, yeah.
But she does that to her. And after the bell, she proceeds to brutalize her leg even further. And the whole time she's kind of staring down the camera and telling Io that this is going to be her.
Yikes.
And that she's coming for the title and that she's going to destroy her at Halloween Havoc and that her reign will come to an end.
Ooh.
Whoa.
I like that.
Yeah.
Big moves. Mm-hmm. So Halloween Havoc next week is Io Shirai versus Mercedes Martinez.
Yep.
Assuming nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing
if it's
is
in a
crazy
week or two,
happens.
But yes, Ooh. That would be the case. We then go into an interview with Angel Garza, who is no longer banned from NXT, as he is now currently trying to get his title back.
Mm-hmm.
He says that
Reinstated.
He's been reinstated. His ban is up. I'm going to just say it's up. sure. this week.
Sure.
He says he told everyone that he would be back and he would make sure to get his North American Championship no matter the cost, and that he would fix this injustice in NXT. He then turns and looks at the camera and tells Kushida that you better watch your back, because you may think that you're the future of NXT, but you're going to learn in reality you're just a relic of the past, and time travel is not... You can't time travel your way out of this one, buddy.
Oh!
You're out of time.
It
sounded better in my head, but it should have been something more of like, you're out of time now. Basically.
Yeah. You're out
love
of time.
It. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
We then go into the next match, which is Breezango versus Indusher.
Okay.
Breezango being the number one contenders.
Oh, jeez.
They
it's
come
tough,
out.
Tough match.
And right before the match shows up, Imperium actually show up on the ramp.
Okay.
They then surround the ringside, and rather than doing anything, they actually watch the match.
Okay.
Indusher.
All five of them surrounding the ring.
Basically.
It's so become a lumberjack
time,
match.
So the whole time, kind of like looking and waiting for them to attack one of them, but they never do it.
Holy crap.
It's a lumber comp match.
So the match goes with Breeze basically taking a lot of the punishment from Cher, getting his back worked over, so that way he can't get the torque for the beauty shot. But in the end of the match, after getting a hot tag from Fandango, they win via the beauty shot and last dance combo. And rather than doing anything, Imperium just go up, walk up to the ramp while Breezango is very afraid that they're going to be assaulted right now. And they do their pose, and we kind of go off from there with them kind of worried, as they have watched them the entire match. And now Breeze's back is a target for Imperium to go for going into Halloween Havoc.
I just like the idea of Imperium not doing any damage themselves, just playing mind games and just looming over everybody and just being like, we're here. We're gonna stand here, and we're gonna be scary.
We're gonna watch you
because we're a bunch of big wrestling boys.
They're intimidating.
Yeah.
They're very, very intimidating.
Going into it, there is the issue of Breeze's back, as Imperium is known for being able to work over someone pretty badly. Along with Thatcher being in him now.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Me too.
They're easily terrifying. They're a five man faction, which is already terrifying. But then they're all extremely skilled, technical, hard hitters in that ring. You know, I mean, they're gonna
and now they know your weak spot.
Yes, Breezango's gonna get destroyed.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
Granted,
bad.
They did get out of a match with Indusher,
yes,
but they're gonna
get
destroyed.
It, but it was hard fought.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a hard fought match for Breezango in that match. So going into this, then we get to a video package actually detailing how after Kushida and actually no, it wasn't actually after Damian Priest won, he then announced that he would be hosting a tournament for the number one contenders for the NXT Championship, as Cross had been champion for quite a while and had eliminated, but he basically had ran through the roster.
Yeah.
So the way this went was it was going to be a triple threat for the finale with three lead-up matches leading into it.
Okay.
Ooh. These matches were Pete Dunne versus Dexter Lumis, which Pete Dunne ended up winning.
Pete Dunne, formerly of SmackDown.
Holy crap.
The way I like to imagine this match is Pete Dunne doing his finger thing and Dexter Lumis the whole time no-selling it until he finally breaks it one last time and he finally sells it and taps out.
Until Pete Dunne breaks all five of Dexter
Lumis.
Yeah,
all his fingers just broken at that point.
He's collected
his
fingers.
It's like SpongeBob where he tries to get into the salty spittoon and he lifts his hand and all of his fingers are just like in half.
My finger.
Yeah.
I'm not a weenie.
Exactly. The next match going into that was Gargano versus Santos Escobar.
Dexter Lumis hanging out at Weenie Hut Jr.
Oh, God. Hut General. I didn't even think about that. That's amazing.
Oh, my God. Sorry, you were saying.
The next match is Johnny Gargano versus Santos Escobar, with Gargano winning with the Gargano Escape.
Ooh.
Nice.
Is Santos Escobar the Cruiserweight Heavyweight?
Cruiserweight Champion.
Yep. Cruiserweight Champ.
I have to note that Priest also picked these out. So he thought Santos
this is for the NXT.
So Priest thought Santos was worthy enough to actually go after the title. Ooh. Should he have gotten there.
Respect.
Yes. And the last match was Cameron Grimes versus Isaiah Swerve Scott, with Grimes winning with the cave-in after
wow.
he ducks a last, I think it's called the last call. And as he ran
yes.
off the ropes, he then jumped and gave him the cave-in.
Baby.
Yeah,
so
baby.
That's hyping up how now the main event for tonight is going to be Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano versus Cameron Grimes, and the winner is going to face Damian Priest at Halloween Havoc.
Triple threat, baby. Winner faces Priest for the NXT title.
Love mm-hmm. it.
Tonight.
Love it.
Yes.
I love how Pete Dunne decided to drop the U.S. title.
Went
and go
right into it.
And go well, he dropped the U.S. title to Tommaso Ciampa
mm-hmm.
and then was like, you know what I want to do right now? Be NXT champion.
Why not?
Was like, hey, yeah.
Do what makes you happy.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Going into this, then, we go into our next match, which is actually going to be Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dominik Dijakovic. The story here being, as the announcers state...
Whoa.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Big match.
Oh, my God.
The announcers tell anyone at home that these two have both been basically craving for an opportunity to actually show their skills off, with Dijakovic losing, I believe... He lost to Killian Dane for the number one contenders match for the NXT North American Championship.
Yes.
And Nakamura, from what I've been told from you two, has not done a ton, so they both want to prove that they are ready for going back into the title scene. So Regal decided to kill two birds with one stone here and decided to put them both against each other, with the assumption that whoever wins it will probably get more opportunities in the future.
Okay.
I like it.
This match is a match basically where Nakamura has to deal with the fact that Dijakovic is huge, and while he has, while Nakamura can strike hard, Dijakovic can kind of just chuck him across the ring. Should he
big?
Wishes. Yeah, he big. The finish of this match, which I was very excited thinking about it, is basically where Nakamura does a running Kinshasa where he runs up like off of Dijakovic's arms and Kinshasas him in the face as he's running towards him for the win.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Yep. Shinsuke Nakamura picks up the win, and both men afterwards shake hands as they Nakamura has proven that he can now move forward. And
so I like it. I like it.
What do you think of that?
I like that a lot.
I want to see this match.
I
want to see Nakamura's old entrance again.
Remember
just with the violin.
Mm-hmm.
True. That was.
I'm very interested about that. I like the idea of Dijakovic and Nakamura. That's such a strange match. like it's a match I would never think of. You know, I got to give the praise to you on that one. It's a match I've never thought of, but thinking about it, it's like...
It's one of those hidden sleepers, I feel like.
I feel like there's a... I think it has a
sleeper. It's like one of those sleeper awesome mm-hmm. matches, right?
Yeah, it's not like a... It's like, it's so weird to think about that match.
Yeah. But I was like, this could be good.
I wonder if they ever interacted before.
I don't know, actually.
Probably not. I would imagine not.
I'm thinking like back to like Ring of Honor days when Donovan Dijak was in Ring of Honor, and if he ever had interactions. I doubt it. I doubt it at the time completely, but I'm wondering. I'm going to look that up.
I'll go with that. We then are immediately interrupted as something is going on backstage, as you see that Angel Garza has found Kushida and is currently attacking him backstage.
Oh, no.
But mid-attack, he's then shoulder-checked out of the way by Killian Dane.
I like Killian Dane coming in out of nowhere like a truck.
Yep. He then picks up Garza and slams him through the catering table. And then as Kushida gets up, he then running crossbodies him through a glass panel. And he gets up, picks the North American title up in the air, and he says that. And as he holds it in the air, we then get an announcement. As William Regal has made, it's going to be a triple threat street fight between Kushida, Garza, and Dane at Halloween Havoc.
I like the idea of...
Like, Dane is so irritated of what just happened to him at the last pay-per-view that he's like, this ain't fucking going down now.
Oh my God.
I like the idea of Dane, like, getting, like, saving Kushida and then picking up Kushida and then Kushida be like, oh, thank you so much. Glassed.
Glassed. I just love that so much.
Glass.
I was just thinking about it. I was like, that's great.
Oh, man, thanks. I really needed the...
Oh, Jesus.
He ain't no one's friend. He just wants that title.
I like it. I like this. I like that you've turned that into sort of like a triple threat angle here. I think it was mm-hmm. a good adjustment to that.
Yes.
And it's three very different individuals.
Yes.
Killian Dane, Kushida, Angel Garza.
I'm very excited. This is the one angle that I planned out a lot, and I was like, I think this is a great idea.
I like that a lot.
It's cool.
So after that, going into it, I'd like to think the announcers are pretty surprised. We're now going into our main event now. Cameron Grimes versus Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano for the number one spot to be the number one contender for the NXT Championship.
And this is a 120-minute Iron Man match,
this
triple
match,
threat, extreme rules.
This match, I like to imagine Grimes is being the weasel of a heel, letting Gargano and Dunne kind of wear themselves out. But whenever he tries to do anything... The two of them kind of like be like, what are you doing? Like, wait, hold on here.
I like the idea that like Grimes only goes for the cave in.
Yeah.
Does he go for any other move?
It's funny you say that, actually.
Do it.
So the finish for this match, basically happens when Gargano hits the Gargano escape on Pete Dunne. Dunne picks him up and puts him into the bitter end from that. As he's rolling him over and getting up, Cameron Grimes comes out of nowhere and does the cave in to Dunne on his, while he's on his knees, and then pins Dunne. Cameron Grimes is now the number one contender.
Oh my God.
Huge victory for Cameron Grimes.
Huge victory.
Huge victory over Gargano and Pete Dunne.
Yep.
I would say some of the biggest stars of NXT.
Yes.
Yeah, so star making a performance.
Yeah.
Out of Cameron Grimes.
So
you're saying is that he's gonna go to the moon?
To the moon, baby. I'd yell it, but it would probably be very hard to do it. Cameron Grimes. To the moon. One last bit before we go off here. After the match, Cameron Grimes actually starts to sing as he did before, slash gloat that he won.
Honestly, I was waiting for it.
And as he's doing it, he's then suddenly cut off by Damian Priest on the Titantron, who he congratulates him but says, "No one wants to hear your lousy singing or your irritating voice." And as he's congratulating, he says that while it's a good win, and he looks forward to facing him at Halloween Havoc. Now that he has him in his sights, he's just another step to solidifying his infamy. And he then does his signature pose with the arrow. The title glows, and as he shoots it, the screen and the arena fill up with Damian Priest's logo that is now a golden flame. And that is how NXT ends, with Grimes standing in the ring, looking irritated.
This isn't a question for you, Zach, per se, but...
So it's a question for me?
This is just a question in general.
Okay.
Why... Again, is Damian Priest the Archer? Where did that come from? Why was he there's nothing of his character that has to do with archery or arrows or anything. He just kind of was just like, yeah, here we are.
I feel like as of late, NXT doesn't want to use your old characters. They want you to make up a new one or take the one they give you. And I feel like they were just like, Damian Priest, you had a cool presence in Ring of Honor and stuff. Screw that. We're going to do something. What's something that's cool? And he's like, I don't know. And Archer. Like, do you know, like, they've given out a lot of jobs recently. Archer. Prince is a job. Very taxing. A lot of taxes.
No, keep going.
Yes, I will. There is a Kyle Riley was a therapist. You know,
I'm not saving you from this one, buddy.
When I started this, I thought there'd be more. Let's see. Cameron Grimes is an astronaut.
To the moon, baby.
To the moon. All right. You know,
I'm not going to save you, but I'm going to save the audience.
Thank them.
So that was NXT.
That was really good.
Thank you.
That was really good.
I like that NXT a lot.
What I liked about that a lot is that it wasn't necessarily like you could have booked like a fucking huge ass show, every title's on the line or whatever, but you went to build. You did a building show, which is obviously way harder.
Which is what we're kind of doing right now. He jumped in on the train with us. He's building towards Halloween Havoc, we're building towards Hell in a Cell.
Exactly. There's difficulty in building to something. Because you can just do like, the dream matches of here all the things are, but building something, getting the investment. You've made me excited in seeing Damian Priest versus Cameron Grimes. You've made me excited as excited I can be into Imperium versus Breezango. That match is going to be wild.
Oh, yeah.
The triple threat made me excited for that. Like, if you're, to me, the goal of always any build show is to make me excited for the matches that are planned for, like, for the title matches. I feel like you succeeded, so I praise you on that one.
Yes, that was Zach was like, "Oh, it's my first time booking. I'm bringing it."
I was like, "I'm not gonna half ass this. I'm gonna try to do my best."
Yeah, he brought it. This is gonna be a tough one to compete with, I think.
I'm looking forward to seeing what SmackDown comes to bring to the table.
And what does SmackDown have to bring to the table, Mikey?
Perfect segues. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, over on Friday night, we are at the end of the week, finally, and it is my turn. It is my turn to book a show. We have Drew McIntyre opening up SmackDown and grabbing a microphone. He says, "Hard cam, I'm talking right to you today, so look at me right in the eyes." McIntyre stares down the barrel of the camera. "Cole, you started a war that you have no idea how to finish. You want a piece of me? That's fine. but if you're going to come at me, you better give it all you got, or else I'm going to eat you alive. I'll do anything and everything to defend this universal title I fought tooth and nail for. You say you want to rip it from my cold, dead hands. Well, Cole, that's exactly what you're going to have to do when we meet inside hell in a cell.
Holy crap.
McIntyre glares down the camera, drops the mic, and walks out of the ring with his challenge sent to Cole.
Holy crap. Holy crap. Huge Hell in a Cell match booked there.
Oh, yeah.
Do we get two Hell... no other matches announced. Just the Hell in a Cell.
Just the Hell in a Cell matches. We got Drew McIntyre taking on Adam Cole in Hell in a Cell. I think a very nice promo from Drew McIntyre, but I'm biased.
No, I agree. I think it's a very good promo. I liked it a lot. It makes, like I said, makes me excited.
I think you captured Drew's charisma really well. And he's like, hard cam, look at me right now. I'm talking to you.
I've been writing for Drew McIntyre a lot recently.
You've been writing... technically for Drew McIntyre since we started doing this show.
I think we've nailed down our version of Drew McIntyre.
We've centered the character of Drew McIntyre.
Our Kraven the Hunter-esque.
Yeah.
Less so now that he's a champion, but
yeah,
it was like hardcore.
Plus he's like a babyface now.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, well, that next up we have match number one. We have Piper Niven taking on Ruby Riott, and Piper Niven gets the victory. Ruby is very pissed off after this loss, and she starts to destroy the area around the ring. She's ripping apart the announce tables, taking down she's trying to like knock down the barrier. She's throwing chairs around. Then Undisputed Era come out, stop her, and bring her to the back and calm her down a little bit.
Okay. She's upset, but she's gone on a losing streak. Maybe if she needs to, maybe she needs to stop being a singles wrestler.
Yeah. So I think what I'm going for here, the story with Ruby Riott, is that. She's a little pissed off at herself for not meeting the expectations of the rest of Era. Because look at the rest of Era right now. We have Strong and O'Reilly, the tag team champions. We have Cole about to take on the Universal Champion in a Hell in a Cell match.
Roddy Strong
is struggling to pick up a victory here.
Roddy Strong previously challenged Ciampa.
Yeah, so it's like Undisputed Era is doing a lot, but Ruby's like...
Not.
And it might be getting to her a little bit is what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah, maybe she needs to stop being a singles wrestler.
Maybe.
Maybe become a tag team wrestler again.
Possibly.
Staring you daggers into your eyes.
Possibly.
Who knows?
Maybe with a certain old friend.
That two-face out of a...
All right. Well, after that Piper Niven win, we have a backstage interview with Bayley, where the interviewer asked Bayley... A few weeks ago, you saved Sasha from a brutal attack from Ember Moon, and we just want to know why. Bayley responds, I said it then, and I'll say it now. My main goal that night was to take out Ember for what she did to Asuka at Clash of Champions. That's all. It has nothing to do with Sasha. Interviewer brings another question up, and she says, speaking of Ember Moon, I know that you and Ember have a match tonight. Any strategy or plans going into this one? Bayley looks at the interviewer and she shrugs and just walks away from the camera. She walks away from the interviewer and ends the interview kind of short.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have a huge take from this, but okay. I'm interested.
Next up, we have a tag team match between Strong and O'Reilly, the tag team champions, taking on Heavy Machinery, in which Strong and O'Reilly get the victory.
Was that a tag title match?
No.
Okay.
Not a match, just a match.
Wait, Heavy Machinery? I thought one was on Raw and one was on SmackDown.
Stop.
I can't believe. Can we talk about that draft? I can't believe they broke up Heavy Machinery.
I'm so upset. I love Heavy Machinery so much.
I get that Otis is the more popular one, but like, I don't feel like that was the right call. But that's me personally.
They're so good together.
They're great together. I don't know, man. That's just.
The one thing I'll always remember from Heavy Machinery is when they were making the smoothie backstage with the New Day around. And then they're making it, and the New Day just looks disgusted at what they're throwing in it. And then Becky Lynch just walks up, drinks it, and she goes, that's a little weak, and walks away.
Yeah.
What a character moment.
It was so good. It was character moments for all of the people involved in that segment. That's like that, because to me that sounded like a segment we would do.
Yeah. It's just dumb enough to be like, yeah, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Seems fun.
I feel like that's the exact book you kind of need for Heavy Machinery sometimes, with the mindset of, hey, it's dumb enough, why not? Sometimes it could be great.
They can be great. It's very, at this point, I don't know if like, they're not going to be straight shooters. They're going to be fun loving.
Exactly.
But they can get serious, but they'll still be fun.
Exactly. It's okay to be both.
Same thing with the New Day. I think WWE is sort of making them more comical than the New Day. But it's, you know, it's they're still there. They can get serious and get the job done at the end of the day.
It's okay to do both. ¿Por qué no los dos? After that, Strong and O'Reilly beat Heavy Machinery. We have a video package from Ziggler and Rude.
Ooh, someone's got a camera. Dolph Ziggler buys a camera.
Dolph Ziggler bought like a handheld camcorder.
Yeah, it's a from like the '80s.
It's on a videotape.
It's on tape.
Ziggler and Rude together backstage. Ziggler and Rude are together backstage when Ziggler says, "Undisputed Era, your time is up. We took out three former champions, and we're coming for you next. We want those tag team championships, and nothing is going to stand in our way on the path to greatness." Rude speaks up as well. "O'Reilly, Strong, you two have a completely new threat on your horizon. You better watch your backs and keep your heads on a swivel, because if you let your guard down, even for a second,
dun, dun, dun,
we'll be there to take you down."
Dun, dun. Serious straight talkers from Rude and Ziggler.
Yeah, definitely getting their game up after they've been on a big winning streak recently.
Yes, they have. I think, what, two, 3 weeks?
Three weeks in a row. I think last week they took out One Nation. So they took out Street Profits, Heavy Machinery, and
former
One
champs.
Nation back to back to back.
Former champs.
Three former champions.
They're getting there. They have something there.
Yes, they're starting to get an argument for taking on the being the number one contenders here.
Do I think they'll win? Probably not, but I think they have a solid opportunity at their hands to, at the very least, raise your stock in the draft.
Indeed.
You have made me care about them more or think that they'll actually have a shot more than WWE has for both of them.
Bang, bang.
Now, what kind of facial hair is Robert Roode walking with?
Robert Roode is obviously rocking the stash because that's his best look.
The full stash?
Always. I love the beard. What can I say?
I like the stash.
I want him like a full Fu Manchu.
That would also be very good.
I'd like to see that.
Not the handlebar, the full man.
Picture this. Mm-hmm. Robert Reed with mutton chops.
I think you rock it. He rocked the mustache. I didn't think the mustache was great at first, and it grew on me.
That's true. Growing him like a mustache.
Robert Reed with a soul patch. Thoughts?
Chin strap.
For some reason, I hate that the most.
Yeah, that's fair. It's because I said it.
No, but it's just I just hate the idea of Robert Roode with just a chin strap.
That's fair.
After that video package from Ziggler and Roode, we have match number three, Ember Moon versus Bayley. And in this match, Ember Moon wins after hitting Bayley with an eclipse. And this leads to my next segment, if I may.
Go for it.
Which I will. After winning the match, Moon starts beating Bayley down. Even after the bell rings, they keep, you know, they do the thing where they keep ringing the bell like it's going to help anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But Sasha Banks comes to the ring and tackles Moon, and the two start brawling. They roll outside the ring, and Sasha throws Moon into the stairs. She slams Moon's head into the stairs repeatedly, and then she grabs Moon's arm and pins it between the stairs and the ring post like she did to Asuka a few weeks ago. Sasha gets a running start and kicks the stairs in, crushing Ember's arm.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Sasha gets back to the ring to help Bayley, who shakes her off and walks out on her own as paramedics run to the ring to cater to Moon, who is just smiling and laughing at Sasha as the medics help her to the back and SmackDown cuts to a commercial.
She's like the Joker, man. What the fuck?
Oh my God.
Ember Moon has taken on a much darker character since she came back.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Terrifyingly dark character. Like, it's like, oh, Jesus. It's chaotic.
She got her arm broken.
A big attack by Sasha, though, for sure.
Yes. That is true.
So Sasha saved Bayley. So now,
But I'm not reading too much into that because she's also been feuding with Ember Moon.
Yes.
As of late as well. So it is her saving Bayley. But I don't know. You know what I mean? If it was like if it wasn't Ember Moon, if it was like Candice LeRae, then maybe. But the fact that it's Ember Moon, I'm like, let's see.
We'll see.
Maybe it's planting something, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. All right. Well, when we come back from SmackDown, we have Kevin Owens in the ring to announce the return of the KO show.
Nice.
Kevin Owens comes on and introduces his show. He says, "Welcome to the KO show. This is a very special installment because I have a very special guest. SmackDown's own United States champion, Tommaso Ciampa. Ciampa's music hits, and he heads to the ring to take his seat. Owen starts. Champs, thanks for joining me today. Any trouble finding the place? Champs no-sells Owen's joke and glares at him. Okay, then. Anyway, you won the United States Championship in your first match on SmackDown, correct? Ciampa just says, yeah.
Yeah. A no-sell.
Another no-sell. Owen says, interesting. And that was one of two matches you had under the SmackDown brand. That, yeah? Tommaso Ciampa responds, that's correct. Okay, thanks for clearing that up. So that leads me to my next question. Who do you think you are coming in here and saying...
Sorry. What a terrible gotcha journalism
that
here.
That leads me to my next question. Who do you think you are coming in and saying you are going to dominate SmackDown and take over and put everyone in their place when you've barely had your reps in here? Anyway, can you clear that up for me? Ciampa stands up and glares at Owens. Owens chuckles. Oh, shit.
Sorry. He chuckles. Oh, shit. I dropped my notes.
I lost my place.
It's like the Owen being like, oh, shit. I might have pissed him off.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. Oh, shit. And then Ciampa hits him with the belt and just takes him out.
Owens chuckles and says, oh, we're doing this now? Owens stands up and glares Ciampa right back in his eyes. Ciampa goes to walk away and tries to sucker punch Owens, who blocks it and gets his own shot in, knocking Ciampa on his ass.
Holy crap.
Ciampa rolls out of the ring with his title and backs away. Owens says, come on, Ciampa, where's all that talk? Come back in here and back it up. Owens is like holding the ropes open for him. He's like, come back in. Like, am I inviting him back in the ring?
Mm-hmm.
Ciampa just backs away slowly and starts laughing maniacally as he nods at Owens.
There's just evil everywhere in your roster, dude.
Lots of evil.
Evil. Yeah, Mikey, I've noticed this recently with Mikey's booking is that he tends to do a lot of like gray area booking. He doesn't have like distinct faces and heels. Sometimes he has a lot of gray areas and does heel on heel and face on face stuff.
I find gray area much more interesting because I feel like it's much more interesting than just black and white heel versus face booking because it leads to a lot more area for interesting story rather than just being like, nah, you're bad and I'm good and we need to take you down, you know?
Who was that? You have a new cowboy character?
You taking Cameron Grimes from me?
What are you doing?
It wasn't meant to be anybody. It was SmackDown's own new cowboy character, Chatham Cage.
Chatham Cage. Wow. I'm all for Chatham Cage's push to the moon.
They call him Chatham Cage, the gallows man.
Bad. God.
God. Oh my God.
Anyway, it's main event time here on SmackDown.
Thank God.
It's main event time. We have a match that was announced last week. We have Cedric Alexander and Ali taking on Sami Zayn and Humberto Carrillo.
Oh, in the main event?
In the main event.
Dang.
Yeah, we gave him the main event spot. I didn't want to keep giving the main event spot to the same people over and over again, so I decided to give it to some new
Is this a slight against me? No. Slight against Raw?
No. It wasn't a slight against anybody.
I take it as a slight.
I'm sorry then. But in this matchup, Cedric Alexander and Ali do pick up the victory together.
Oh, nice.
So we've been building up this match for the past couple of weeks because Sami Zayn and Humberto Carrillo both attacked Cedric Alexander and Ali after their previous matches with each other in the past couple of weeks. So this match was announced last week after, I believe, Cedric Alexander saved Ali from a beatdown from Sami Zayn.
Mm.
Yes. Now, because of my own self-interest, who pinned whom?
Who pinned whom? We have Cedric Alexander pinning Humberto Carrillo.
Oh, okay. No one pinned Mr. Money in the Bank,
Sami
Zayn.
Nobody pinned Mr. Money in the Bank, Sami Zayn.
He's still got that briefcase.
Yes, he does.
Still has the briefcase. Mikey.
Don't worry about it.
Do you have any idea what to do with it?
Possibly.
Okay.
I'm going to keep swinging the mic around and thinking of the best. Pretty sure.
Zach, what'd you think of SmackDown?
That was really good. I actually really like the Ember Moon, Sasha, and Bayley angle you've got going on there.
I very much like this angle, this storyline. I like where this is going. Mm-hmm.
The Ciampa, Kevin Owens angle, it's got to be good. Come on. Come on, man.
Yeah, the Ciampa, Kevin Owens angle was a recent a recent start. I believe last week, Kevin Owens called out Tommaso Ciampa to be on the KO show.
And then, as I already said, I really like the Drew McIntyre promo just because I just thought I could just feel the charisma from here.
Yeah, I love writing for Drew McIntyre. It's one of my favorite things to do on the show is book Drew McIntyre and do promos for Drew McIntyre because they're always I think it's because I have that deep we've built Drew McIntyre up so much over the years that I have that deep understanding of how we have his character.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just it feels very natural writing for Drew McIntyre, writing promos and stuff for Drew McIntyre, and they always come off like once I like get that first sentence down, I can do the rest. I just get into like that mind space where I can just flow through the rest really easily.
Mm.
Agreed. Drew McIntyre has always been a very interesting. I think we, not to toot our own horn, but I think we did a really good job booking him and making a star of him. I mean, won the WWE title, won the Universal Championship. Was he a 2-time WWE? I think he's only 1-time. But then beat John Cena at WrestleMania.
Had a very long storyline with the Demon.
That's true. Very like over a year long storyline with the Demon. He's defeated people up and down the card. He's a star. He's a star. There's nothing more. I think we did a good job with that.
He's the one who dethroned Randy Orton's record long Universal title reign.
True. He's done it all. I love it. I love me some Drewy Max.
Love me some Drewy Max and
Max. Drewy Max and cheese.
Jesus.
Yum yum yum.
Hey.
Oy vey. I like that. I like SmackDown a lot. Like I said, I think Drew McIntyre is also really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like Ember Moon and Sasha Banks and where that's going. I just love the idea of that match. Even though we've been doing it for a while, but I like it a lot. I like that the tag match was in the main event. I wasn't expecting that honestly, but I think that was a good spot. I like that. I like that match basically came out of a randomizer, basically. Mm-hmm. And I like what you did with it there. And I like the sort of like now official team up of like Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali a little bit. I don't know if you necessarily are calling them a tag team now or
this,
if they're
this
just
is
sort of
their
a team
first
up.
This is their first match. If they continue as a tag team and if I can keep both of them in the draft, then I probably will come up with a name for them.
Fair enough. I like it a lot. I think it was a really good job.
But I don't want to name them because then I'll get too attached to them.
That's fair. Well, I liked it a lot. Let's get into the closing segment of the show, the randomizer.
Ugh. Oh, man, this is the fun part for me.
Because Zach is here, we're going to be doing two things. Number one, Zach's going to have to deal with a randomizer.
Yes.
Because you're the guest. You got to be here at the randomizer.
Yes.
And number two, because you're also sort of the judge here, and also because we're recording the show a little bit too early for the poll results.
But those poll results won't go to waste, we promise.
Yes, they won't. They will not. They will be used next week.
So continue voting.
Yes, so continue voting. Well, they've already voted at this point.
Good.
Thank you for voting. So now, because Zach's here, he's going to act a little bit of a judge. So Zach, it is now your time to decide whose card was better. Was it my Monday Night Raw card, or is it Mikey's Friday Night SmackDown card? Whoever you say wins, the loser will then get hit with the randomizer, obviously along with yourself. So who, in your opinion, and back it up, you can talk about it or whatever, who in your opinion had the better card?
I'm torn on this one because I thoroughly enjoyed Raw's ending quite a bit, but I really liked the Drew McIntyre and the Sasha Banks and Ember Moon angle that Mikey's got going on SmackDown right now. I'm trying to think what else happened in Raw because we literally just talked about it like an hour ago and we went through all this.
I got the Aleister Black, Bray Wyatt puppet.
That's really good too.
What else did I get? What did I do? What did I do? I got to save my show before I can get hit with the randomizer.
The MVP Ricochet angle, which I enjoyed.
Okay, MVP Ricochet is in there, yes.
We'll see.
I also had...
Oh, you had Sonya and Shayna.
Sonya, Shayna, the Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. Oh, this is... Let me see. I'm trying to think. Mikey had the Piper... Niven, not Piper. Piper and Ruby Riott match because she got mad.
Tough pick.
It is a tough pick. You both have things about your shows that I really liked a lot.
Me and Ryan might be getting pretty good at this.
Maybe. But what are you going to pick? Time to decide
Who is getting, who had the better card this week? Mm.
So, you had the Sasha thing, you had that.
He's doing the math in his head.
I'm doing the math of who.
It's like that meme where all the like equations are floating by
right now. He's just like,
how about this? While he's figuring it out, let's hit the randomizer for NXT. So
yes.
I have it in front of me. If you want me to do it, or you want to do
it?
Okay, I'll do it right now. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Well, okay.
Tell me I got the fucking rewrite thing.
Well, the good news is, Mikey, is that we'll actually end up doing it both. Because I rolled double booked.
What is that? Hit
the randomizer twice for two random actions.
No. So me and Ryan both get to hit you with something.
Okay. I'll roll it, and then Mikey obviously will roll it for the other version here.
How deliciously evil.
Oh, my God. This is bullshit.
It's evil. It's definitely evil. Zach, tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Mine
this is about to get crazy. I have to solve this first, Mikey.
Mine is still working.
Okay, good. I rolled double spin.
What?
Both bookers now spin. So that means you and I are now going to spin on each other.
Oh. Wow.
So I'm going to roll spin. I'm going to roll it again for a third time on Zach. But now he gets to roll it on me without even making his decision yet. And we also have yours as well, which is also going to affect Zach. We got a lot of randomizing actions happening all at once.
Mr. Zachary Batista.
Yes.
My randomizer roll.
Which I can't see now because Ryan is going through all the options.
I'm sorry. Actually, you're right. Do you remember what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
You got an insanely bad injury.
Oh, no. Come on, man.
Okay, what is it? What is an insanely bad injury?
I would have read it if you didn't get rid of it.
Okay, wait, there's a list right there, bud.
So insanely bad injury. Roll a D whatever to see what wrestler gets hurt, and then a D20 plus 5 to see how many weeks they're out.
Oh, no.
So how many wrestlers on your roster wrestled this week on your show of NXT?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, God, that was... Oh, no, that's 9. Oh, that's 11.
11?
I had Shinsuke Dijakovic, the tag match, which is 4. I had Mercedes Martinez and Catanzaro. That's 8. And then I had the triple threat, which is 11. Kushida, Garza, and Dane thankfully didn't wrestle.
Correct.
They just were in backstage segments.
Do they count, though, Mikey? Because they were, well, one person went through glass.
One person went through a table. One person went through glass.
I would say they count. Honestly,
damn it, that's four.
I know, but that like honestly, come on, one person went through glass.
So then the answer is I have 14 people that have wrestled. Thankfully, none of the champions except for Kushida wrestle.
That's true. Okay, so if you want to pull up your card yet again, and I will roll a D. It's gonna be a D4, so it's just gonna be like. Down the card, 1, 2, whichever wrestler, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I will roll you a, Mikey, if you want to also prep it for yourself, I'm going to roll a D14. Mikey, if you want to roll that D20.
Yes.
And also, we're still not done with the randomizer. You still have to decide who had the better card, but then also we have to hit it on each other. So it's just going to, this is a nightmare scenario.
I rolled for how long the person's up.
Okay, go for it. I'm still setting up.
No. Whoever gets injured. Oh, no. We'll be out. I rolled a 4. They will be out for 9 weeks.
Oh. And I rolled a 6. So who is the 6th wrestler to wrestle in that show?
6th wrestler, like in order down from there?
Yes, from the top of the card to the bottom.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's one of them from Brizango.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Somehow. Wait, hold on. Let me see. Hold on. Wait. So, Kans are. Okay, no, that wasn't the wrestling segment. Oh, shit. That's going to be Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, no!
because it's Martinez and Catanzaro, and then it's Indu, Cher, and Breezango, and then he went in next.
Well, did you count the tag teams as 2 each?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, then it's Shinsuke Nakamura will be out for 9 weeks.
To get the opportunities out 9 weeks. bastards.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to our playground here at Hit the Books, where we torture each other with a randomizer.
I did. I'm telling you all right now, I literally specifically did this to build him up if I ever did this again so that he would get to do something, and now he's gone.
Welcome to the randomizer, baby.
Oh.
Yeah, that's rough. Nine weeks from now will be December 16th.
Oh.
That is right before our TLC pay-per-view.
To be fair, 9 weeks is on the lower end of what it could have been.
Yeah, you know yeah. I mean, yeah, it could have been way
worse.
You
could have gotten a maximum of 25 weeks.
Okay, you know what? I'm looking at the bright side. Shinsuke wasn't on Halloween Havoc either, so.
So, yeah.
It's still Shinsuke, though, which.
He's not on Survivor Series.
Yeah, he's not on that either.
Okay.
By the way, after a long, hard think, I think I've decided who has the better show, in my opinion.
Okay. Do you want to solve our double spin first?
How do I do that?
Do you want to go over to Mikey's computer?
All right, I'm coming over.
Mikey, tell me when to stop. Stop. I got my result as you're booking that up.
The one that I rolled, I believe this is I got Pick'ems.
Pick'ems? What are the Pick'ems?
Change the results of one of the other's matches.
So you get to change the results. You get to use Zach Batista to get the you get to change the result of one of the matches on Raw.
I hope you're following this, audience, because there's a shit ton of things happening. Right.
This is really easy because I can just be an asshole.
This randomizer is wild today.
So Aleister Black, Bo Dallas, Sonya Deville, Natalya, Ricochet MVP, or Edge and Daniel Bryan versus The New Day?
MVP's now going for the Intercontinental Championship. Ricochet don't get anything.
Big
now.
Moves.
No. That's big, big moves. Ricochet's yes. out of the title match.
Yep.
Big moves.
Now LLC with MVP are going in for the Intercontinental Championship.
Whoa. Hold on. It wasn't a number one contenders match. If Ricochet wins, he gets the IC title match.
So well, Ricochet no longer gets the IC title match.
Correct.
LLC's
bold
too strong.
Bold move. Zach
Batista. You took away... Not only did you change the result of one of my matches, you took away one of my matches from next week.
I'm hiding in my bubble over here while they are just throwing volleys at each other.
You know, it's funny you say that, Mikey, because I actually thought Ryan's show was the better show.
Here I go. I jinxed myself.
Because
all right. Well,
I went over it, and in my mind, while your opening was, I think, better, his ending got me so excited for next week. The idea
everyone's taking their licks today.
Faction.
Yeah, everyone is. This is real rough.
I lost Shinsuke. You don't get a match.
That's fair. So we have. Wait. So to finish up the original role of the double booking, mm-hmm. which turned into a double spin, which was a Shinsuke Nakamura getting injured for 9 weeks, and then my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the double spin, which is us rolling on each other.
Yep.
So you did your thing of changing my result. My thing for you
was
you had a title match. You have to book a title match. Do you already have a title match in your card? I don't quite remember for some reason.
In my current card, there was no title match.
Well, now you have to make one of them a title match or replace a match to make a title match.
Oh, God.
While you're thinking about that, would you like to reveal what happens to SmackDown? Because I also need to take my licks today.
That's true, but he's rolling on him, so I gotta. Why don't you just roll the randomizer on yourself there, since Zach was doing off of your computer, and then we'll see what the result is there. Well, Zach thinks of how the hell he's gonna book a title match where he was building things.
I so much was built for that pay per view.
That's true. AKA, look, on the bright side, it could make your NXT card better. Which means you can get a win in the polls.
It could. It just...
Was it 2K outcome? Yeah.
That decision to change it, I was like, I have to do Ricochet and MVP because the entire build was literally off of the outcome of that match.
Yes, correct.
I misunderstood it, but it still worked out in the end.
It still worked out. You still took away the match no matter what.
I can't believe I have to... One of these has to be for a title.
Yeah.
This is literally like giving up one of my children right now because I'm like...
I know. It's tough.
While you figure out your title match, I will say the results of my randomizer roll on SmackDown. Major injury.
Oh, no.
Right before Hell in a Cell.
Oh, no.
Roll a D whatever to see what wrestler gets hurt, then a D12 plus 2 to see how many weeks they're out.
So Zach said that he thought Raw was better, which means that the randomizer roll here... Mikey lost, so he had to hit the randomizer. That decision is that a major injury happened. Major injury. Mikey, how many wrestlers on your roster wrestled today?
12.
12?
Yes. Okay.
Piper Niven, Ruby Riot, Strong O'Reilly, Heavy Machinery, Ember Moon, Bayley, Cedric Alexander, Ali, Sami Zayn, Humberto Carrillo.
And how long do they get injured for? What's the...
D12 plus 2.
D12 plus 2. So you have 12 wrestlers. I'm rolling two D12s.
Two D12s.
Okay, well, I rolled the first D12, which is the person.
Yes.
Number 2.
Ruby Riot.
Wow, this is actually quite fitting for that storyline now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ruby Riot gets injured.
She can't win, and now she's injured.
Okay, and I have to roll another D2.
Here's something I would like to clear up. If they are injured,
yep,
they just cannot be on our show, even in segments, yes?
They.
I don't think we've ever done that. I don't think we've ever had an injured person in a segment before.
No, we have not. We just like,
so
just
I guess let's keep
it.
Going with that.
I was going to say, as a guest, I think it should be allowed they could be on segments to keep them relevant.
Mm.
That's fair.
But they just can't wrestle.
It hasn't been done in the past, is the issue.
I think it sort of also depends on what the injury is.
That's also true. I guess
if it's like
I
an
guess,
arm,
about,
I mean, but we never determine the what the actual injury
Here's
is.
Here's what I suggest. Depending on how long they're out, which would be the severity of the injury,
mm-hmm.
we can figure it out from there.
Which is a D12 plus what?
2.
So I rolled a 3.
5 weeks.
5 weeks. Ruby Riott's out for 5 weeks. The other thing is that it's a draft, so we have to decide whether or not she's eligible to be for draftability.
I would say so. Only 5 weeks?
Typically, injured people haven't been eligible, but by the time the draft comes around, she'll have like 2 weeks left. I think
she's still eligible because she'll be back relatively shortly after the draft. After we do the draft,
this is true. This is true.
Just correct me wrong. Does Mikey have to spin for me still?
No, we have left is for you to make a title match.
All right.
We're all good.
There was a lot of spinning there.
So what happened
there
was
a lot of spinning there. Can we get a quick recap of the events, Ryan?
Quick recap. Because you were on NXT, we rolled the randomizer for you. The result was a double booking, which mm-hmm. means that we have to roll the randomizer on each other now.
No, the double booking.
Oh, yeah, we have to roll it twice. We have to roll the randomizer twice now on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
The result of the first roll was Mikey's, which was an insanely bad injury, where he injured Shinsuke Nakamura for 9 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of that double roll was a, I forget the name of it already, it was called, God, this recap's going bad, where we had to now, the second result was we now had to roll on each other,
mm-hmm.
you and me, Zach. So where that happened, where you rolled, you changed the result. You did a pick-ems. You changed the result of my match of Ricochet and MVP, where mm-hmm. MVP now wins. And I affected you by forcing you to have a title match in your show.
Yep.
That was just the NXT spin. Then you decided which show was better, which you said Monday Night Raw, and thank you for that. But because of that, Mikey lost. Mikey then got hit by the randomizer, and that result was... that someone had to get injured for a number of weeks. That result was Ruby Riott for 5. And that is your recap.
Nice. I've also decided what the title match is going to be.
And what is it?
It's going to be Breezango versus Imperium.
All right.
Breezango versus Imperium for the titles tonight.
Yes. And the result will be that Breezango loses because of the back injury.
Fair enough.
By Breeze throughout the match. I will say for this, for the sake of it, because he got put there new, Thatcher is the one that picks up the victory by making Tyler Breeze tap out to...
Nice.
It's like where you like wrap your legs around someone, you give them like a scissor. It's like a version of that. Oh, it's a Dragon Sleeper. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah. Dragon Sleeper.
He gives him that, and Tyler Breeze is forced to tap out.
Awesome.
All right.
That's in replacement of the Breezango in this year?
Yes. There was going to be a cool Halloween Havoc entrance with them, but you... You totally robbed me of that.
Well, then let's...
No, the randomizer robbed
Robbed me of that. Yes, well, that is a more accurate statement.
Give us that anyways. What was going to be the...
It was going to be them pretending to be Imperium, but they were going to be like zombies, and they were going to act like they were like just like lifeless walking down the ring, and then when they got in the ring, they were going to rip off the track suits, and they were going to have their outfits on, and they were going to start dancing.
I love it. I love that.
Supposed to be their mind games to get Imperium's head. They would have been like, you dare mock us.
I like that a lot.
Yep.
Very good.
Very, very good. Well, that is it for this week's episode of Hit the Books. A very long episode, but thank you, everybody, for joining us. Especially, Zach, thank you for joining us on this week's episode.
Oh, I had a ton of fun. It was a pleasure.
Yes, and obviously, you booked an amazing NXT card where You now the fans can go and vote on whose card was better. So obviously what Zach did is he thinks Raw's card is the best, but you can decide what was actually the best. Was it Raw? Was it SmackDown? Was it NXT? You can head on over to our Twitter at HitTheBooksPod. There'll be a pinned tweet at the top of the page where you can vote on whose was better, Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. Obviously, you are here. We're all here for the collective, and we're going to be recording more stuff while we're here this weekend. So what is something that people can listen to, you guys?
They can listen to Independent Waters every Wednesday. We have a special episode coming up next week with the three of us. Again, Ryan Knightsey is going to be joining us.
This episode, actually, the episode you're describing is already out, I believe.
Right. The
really?
Episode before this. Sorry.
Yes. It's actually the episode that's already out.
I always get the dates mixed up, especially when we're recording
weird.
Right now.
The timeline is we're recording this first, and this episode comes out Friday, the next Friday.
After the special episode of Independent Waters, which you would have already heard with featuring Ryan Knightsey.
And the Independent Waters episode is recording Monday after today. I'm getting a phone call, apparently. How rude of me to not turn my phone off during a podcast. We're recording today where the Independent Waters episode comes out Monday, or is recorded on Monday but released on Wednesday. And then this episode we're recording right now is released on Friday. So very confusing, but it's already out, actually.
Yes. So anyway, continue to go check that out every single Wednesday where me and Zach Batista will... continue our journey through the independent wrestling sea.
I can't wait, honestly, for the matches we're going to see and then describe for them
all. The matches we've already seen.
Yeah, why is that episode special?
The episode is special because we were recording it live with you, and we are going to be reviewing all of the shows we saw at the Collective live.
Yeah, all five shows.
All five shows at the Collective.
It's going to be
maybe six. Maybe six, because we're going to watch Collective.
They would have, again, you would have known that, though.
Time is crazy. It is sick.
Yeah, the timeline's all screwed up over here.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my brain's all over the place. Yes, but not only that, you can also go to our YouTube channel, Hit the Books Podcast on YouTube, and we should have some episodes of a vlog we recorded while we were at the Collective. You can go check all that out. See our journey coming down and around to Indianapolis. Sort of like, you know, things we've done. To sort of go through and just how we enjoyed the Collective and some of the clips of stuff of, you know, the matches we've seen there, and just our immediate takeaways, I guess, of the shows.
Yes, I'm very excited for that vlog to come out, and I'm very excited for everyone to see it. So hopefully you may live vicariously through us if you couldn't make it to the Collective this year.
Yes, 100%. We wanted to provide that for you, and we'll provide the reviews and whatnot as well. So go check that out. It should already be starting to come out, if not all come out on YouTube. Again, Hit the Books Podcast on YouTube. Again, Zach, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
I guess until next time. Is there anything else? Subscribe to the podcast, leave
go
a review.
Check out our website, htbpod.com.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's it. Until next time, we've got two words for you.
Book it.
Yeah, baby. Bye, everybody. This has been a Countout Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.